Okay, good morning. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're still dealing with the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians. Now, I'm going to read the verses here in Matthew, then we're going to divert from Matthew probably for the rest of the message. but, you know, all these things that we read, like I was mentioning in the Sunday school service, you know, I don't know what each one of you need, okay, spiritually speaking. I can't, if I had a dollar for every time that somebody came up to me after the service and said, that was just what I needed, that was a blessing, and I've heard the same thing from Pastor Andre, or you answered my question perfectly, without knowing the need and without knowing the question, it's evidence that the Spirit of God was active and laid upon my heart the things that that individual needed. Now, I may preach something over and over and over again, as Pastor Andre did and Brother Stewart did, and every other man of faith that rightly divides the Word of God has ever done. But yet, when we preach, we often don't understand what others need. They may need something and be hearing it, and the Lord may be giving them the gift of understanding for that portion of Scripture for the first time. But for us that know it, it's what? It's yea and amen. Okay? Now, if we are, we're human beings, okay? Here's another one that I don't remember who the author of it is. To err is human. You can look that up for me, Lowell, if you want to. do we have perfect minds? One of these flies are driving me crazy. I bought a salt gun, the bug assault gun. It's not the shotgun version. It's the one with the CO2 cartridge. And if you shoot a fly with that thing, you're not going to find the fly afterwards. It vaporizes the thing. But they're kind of fun. Okay. Well, kids, you better behave yourselves. Anyway, they're kind of fun. That aside, okay, so are we perfect? Do we have perfect minds? Far from it. You know, I showed my imperfection in the last service. John came up, I said Methuselah lived to be 1,200 some odd years old. Now I was rounding the number. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Okay, am I going to remember every portion of Scripture that I'm not directly dealing with every time I quote something in the pulpit or otherwise? Most of the time when I'm in the pulpit, the Spirit of God gives me exactly the words that I need, and I do remember most of it. But I'm a vessel in the Lord's hands. You are a vessel in the Lord's hands. We are going to err. And so, and if you don't know what err is, as I didn't at one point in time, when Pastor Andre, after the 50th time that he said err, you're going to make mistakes, okay? So, the Word of God is what? Line upon line, line upon line. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. We cover things over and over and over and over again so that we might know even as we're known. Okay? How well are we known by the Lord? We covered this in the last message. We were talking a little bit about the omniscience of God. I wrote about it here in the bulletin. If you haven't read the bulletin, please do. I've been spending a lot of time kind of covering the various intrinsic natures of God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows the past from the present, from the future, all at one moment in time. So is there anything past the purview of the Lord? Is there anything that's not in his wheelhouse, so to speak? He knows all things because he's the executor and creator of all things. You, me, the universe, this earth, this rock we call earth, it all belongs to him, and it's all what? For him. Okay? So who do we belong to? Ourselves? Who do our children belong to? Ourselves? No, we belong to the Lord. Okay? Not like Obama and Hillary and Kamala says, your children are children of the community. They say that because they want to poison your children's minds so they stop voting for conservative candidates so that they might have perpetual political power. That's how man manipulates these things. Man uses the things of God and manipulates them for his use. That's what the devil has done too. Created a false gospel based upon the true and living God's gospel. Okay, but yet we belong to the true and living God. We are in the truth so long as we abide in the truth. And if we have been saved and justified by the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin, then we will never be subject to hell. We're always subject to eternal life because he lives, we shall live also. So we should abide in that which of which the foundation of our life belongs, our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so when we see these things the way we should see them, we finally come to the understanding, and I was talking to Debbie a little bit about this yesterday. It's hard to preach and describe the blessing that comes along with being well taught in the Word of God, okay? Being mature in the things of the Lord, because it requires a lot of hearing, okay? Now, I'm not saying that you're incomplete if you have become a believer in Jesus Christ. You're complete in Him. We read that over in Colossians. Let's read it one more time. Turn over to Colossians with me. These are things that we have to understand. And of course, like I said earlier, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. So Colossians chapter 2, I think it is. If I can actually turn the page to Colossians. Such a small book, I often flip past it. Okay. Alrighty. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. That's carry you away. Through philosophy. Now, what is philosophy? Philos, the love of knowledge. Okay. What is man continually trying to do? He's trying to ascend to the place where God is, that he may be all-knowing, that he may have an answer for the fact that we have a terminal nature in that we die. That's the foundation for all of man's philosophy. And it's like, you know, I like listening to Jordan Peterson. I think he's pretty intuitive. And he's got mankind pegged. But all his efforts are to give you the very best 70-some-odd years possible upon the earth. And so he uses the Word of God, which he's been doing frequently. He's got an exposition on the book of Exodus, an exposition on Genesis, an exposition exposition on a couple other books in the Old Testament that he's working on. So far, he's only got the Genesis and Exodus completed. But he uses all those things in the very outward sense of the way things are written. Now, is he right in some of their philosophical meanings as pertaining to man, dealing with man? Yes. But the truth of the Word of God says that our Lord Jesus Christ is our life, and this life that we have is worth how much? Nothing. We're sinners undone. If in this life alone, if all we have is this life, then are we of most men most miserable? Of all men, most miserable. You know, for let us eat, drink, and be merry, for what? Tomorrow we die. We're bound for hell without Christ. But he denies the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ because he can't see the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ because he's spiritually dead, and the unregenerate man operates in a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? The ways of death. Okay? Now, he's got humanity pegged, just like a bunch of the great philosophers of old have had humanity pegged. If you don't know what that means, it's got them figured out, okay? We have a intrinsic nature that we repeat over and over and over again based upon the fleshly nature that's within us, okay? But yet I can never complete myself. Why? Because I have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I'm a sinner undone, all right? So let's read here in Colossians. Beware lest any man spoil you or carry you away. Carry you away from what? The truth of the Word of God. Right? That's what that means. Spoil in the Greek means carry you away. Through philosophy, the reasonings of man, okay, in his wisdom. But man by wisdom knew not God, as the scripture says. And vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments. That's the rules and regulations of what? The cosmos, the order of things after the fall of man, under the leadership of Satan, the devil. And not after Christ. For in him, we're still dealing with the subject of the last verse, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God. Okay. He's the great I am, El Gibor. Okay. He's the God-man. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So where we are born into this world, dead in trespasses and sin, our shortcomings have been filled in by the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived our life in our stead. Because remember, he said, I've not come to fulfill the law. I've not come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill it. For not one jot or one tittle shall be passed from the law till what? All be fulfilled. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet what? Without sin. I want to read that again for all the folks that weren't here in the first message. Turn to Luke chapter 4. And then we'll go back to this. I saw this as I was studying this week. I'm probably not the first person to see it. Okay. Luke 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, the nation of Israel was in the desert for how long? 40 years. Okay. 40 is a time of proving in the scriptures. All right. The Lord proved his people who had become sinners in Adam, and they were supposed to see that we're sinners and we require what brought us into this place in the first place, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who cleanses us from all sin. Okay. But what they end up saying, our soul loatheth this light bread, give us flesh to eat. Okay. We want what we want because we want it. That's the nature that man got from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the foundation for all the religions of the world. So he was an hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, okay, so what is he doing? He's laying down temptation for our Lord. Command this stone that it shall be made bread. And Jesus answered what? Saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Okay, another place we have every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay, now, what do we gain through the bread of life? Eternal life. What do we gain by, I brought a couple of lunches because I meal prep, so I've got a couple lunches in the fridge over there. I'm kind of hungry right now. Preaching takes it out of me. So as soon as the service is over and you all leave, I'm going to stuff my face. Okay? I'm hungry. Okay? Now, what is that going to do? It's going to satiate my hunger for how long? Oh, till about, 4 or 5 o'clock. Okay? And I'm going to eat another meal. Okay? Now, that's a few hours. If I stop eating, how long is it going to take for me to die? 30 or 40 days, give or take. Okay? Now, if I stop drinking water, I'll probably start seeing the signs of death within 3 or 4 days. Okay? But our Lord, we're speaking of his word, is our daily bread. All right? Now, we are sustained daily. Nice. Did you get it? Good.
40 days, Moses is on the mount too without food and
water. Yeah, time of proving. That's correct. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's 40 days is or 40 is always a time of proving. Okay, so our Lord and his word sustains us for how long? For the ceaseless ages of eternity. That's why our Lord is called the bread of life. That's why when we take communion, we drink of the unleavened wine and we eat of the unleavened bread. Speaking of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be in us, never leave us nor forsake us. And because he lives, we shall live also. What kind of life does God have? Eternal life, and we shall have the same kind of life. In fact, we have the same kind of life right now. Okay, and so he denies the temptation of the devil and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So verse 5, the devil being taking him up unto an high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. And I apologize for re-preaching this to the people that heard it during the last message, but you're going to hear it again. Okay, I'm actually enjoying preaching it again, so... think what you will. It's good for you. Okay. Now, the devil is the prince of the power of what?
The air.
What surrounds the world? The air. He's the unholy God of this world. He was cast down into the earth when he sinned and fell with 1/3 of the angels and became, the earth became like him. And he has a certain power over the earth through his fallen angels and through the demons where he can apply his trade that he put into play in the Garden of Eden through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's the unholy God of this world in that sense. Now, does he have power over the creation? Now, he doesn't have power over the creation. He has power in the creation. God has power over the creation. God allowed all these things to happen so that his love, mercy, and grace, holiness, righteousness, and justice might shine through. Okay? And so what does he say next? He's offering him all that he has power over. And so the devil taking him up into an high mountain, verse 5, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. Remember, the devil said, I will be the Most High. What is he doing? Like Absalom declaring himself king in Hebron over David after David fled by the sound of the trumpet, He's saying that he's the king. Now, who's going to reign in the kingdom of heaven? Our Lord Jesus Christ, God. So he's a usurper. Okay? He's putting himself in the position of a usurper. And he says, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast down thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, what? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, do we have guardian angels that protect us from things that would lead to our untimely death as far as the Lord's timeline is concerned? Sure we do. Does the Lord have ministering angels as well? Yes. When he sweat great drops of blood in Gethsemane because of what was about to happen to him, let not this cup pass from me, this cup of sin, the angels ministered unto him. All right? So the devil's tempting him in all points, like as we're tempted, but our Lord Jesus Christ is not of the bloodline of Adam. Okay? Now, what is he offering him? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You're hungry, I'll feed your flesh. All that I have, all that you see, I'll give you. And then you say you have life, and what did the devil say to Eve? You shall not surely die. You're going to live. You're going to be like God. Prove it to me. But God can't lie. He is the source of life for all that has eternal life. Okay? And so we have what the pride of life is represented there, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. I always do this. It's 1 John 2. I continually transpose 1 John 2:15 through 17 with 1 John 4:7 through 10, but it's the same book, so I always figure it out. One of these days I'll get it. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. Now, what is the world? The cosmos, the order of things after the fall of man. Okay? Now, what was the prior order? Man walked with God in the cool of the day and operated according to God's counsel, thus saith the Lord. But then man turned to the counsel of the wicked one, the anti-God, the anti-Christ, with his anti-gospel through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil said, you don't need that guy that created you. All you need to do is live according to your own autonomy, and you can decide what is right and what is wrong. And so we have the various religions of the world. Adam ate, and he fell from the image of God. Okay? So the order of things after the fall is that man can make himself fit for God's presence by whatever means he sees fit. The lust of his flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay? So the order of things after the fall, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, now, does man go after the things of the world? Sure he does. Is he going to be able to take those things with him? No, he's not. Okay? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, what is the love of the Father? The love of the Father is the gospel, okay? And we're going to read it here. The gospel, first of all, says that it's the good news. That's what gospel means, gospel, okay, gospel. The good news about Jesus Christ in his person and in his work. Why is it good news? Because when I see myself to be a sinner, the gospel says that I'm saved in Jesus Christ, and I have an eternal inheritance in him, and he shall never leave me nor forsake me, okay? For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and we saw that in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, saw that it was good. Eve saw that it was good for food. The lust of the eyes, pleasant to the eyes, and the pride of life is what? Not of the Father, but is of what? Now, you can plug this in. The God of this world. That's the devil's gospel. The devil is not in the sin business. The devil is in the false religion business. Okay? But we have one way into heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the world passeth away. Now, when is that going to take place? When our Lord comes in his second advent and establishes his kingdom for 1,000 years, and then after that burns all this up, okay, and establishes his new kingdom in the new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. okay, for the ceaseless ages of eternity. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth how long? Forever. What's the will of God? Lord, what might we do that we may work the works of God? The disciples said to our Lord. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Who was sent? Our Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, to take upon himself the sin of mankind and die for it on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood that we might be subject to the new covenant, which is their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. In his first advent. Okay? So we put all these things together, and in Luke, our Lord was tempted in all points like as we are, yet what? Yet without sin. Okay? So, going back over to Matthew, now that we've been in every other book of the Bible, that's how we do it. We compare Scripture with Scripture. Now, not everything's written in one place. Okay, well, that's next week, John. Okay.
That's all right. Get it over and over.
All right, come on, Pastor, get there. Here we go. All right. So, verse 33 of the 13th chapter of Matthew. Now, these all these things were really dealing with the same concepts. Another parable spake he unto them, that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. All right? We explained what a leavening agent was for the past 3 weeks. A leavening agent causes a dough to rise. Okay? Now, if I'm all full of myself, like I made the joke prior to the service, you know, I'm a pastor, so I don't sin. And I put my fingers in my lapel, got my nose and all cocked out of joint, as they say, in the air, because I'm higher than everybody else, so I have to lift myself up. That's what we do when we're all full of ourselves and self-righteousness, like a loaf of bread that puffs up. I'm all puffed up in myself. Look at me. I'm so good and right and holy. All it takes is one mistake, and then I deflate awfully quick. Right? That's what pastors do all the time. They say, I'm this, I'm that. Do as I do, not as I say. Or, excuse me, do as I say, not as I do. That's what the Pharisees said. We're going to read that here in a minute. Okay? And then when they're caught in some sin, they cheat on their wife, they cheat on their taxes, something happens here, something happens there. Oh, then they love the grace of God. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then they go back to saying, after they fix things, I'm not like those dirty, rotten sinners over there. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And I'm not like all those idiots outside the church that don't come to church. Now, that Pharisee that said that before the veil, I'm speaking of a parable here, went down to his house saved or condemned? He was condemned because he had not subjected himself to the blood of Christ that shall cleanse him from all sin. The publican that stood there, on the other hand, now what was a publican? Well, he was a Roman tax collector that was a Jew. Think about the situation at the time. We have to kind of put our minds there a little bit. Okay, the Jews were under Roman rule. They were a sovereign nation under Roman rule in captivity. Of course, the Jews said, we were never in captivity to any man. Conveniently forgetting their entire history. Okay, Babylonian captivity, Assyrian captivity, Egyptian captivity, Roman captivity. They were constantly in captivity, and through all that, they were in captivity to the law. Okay, yet they've continually been completely autonomous and under their own rule. For a little while, the Lord showed them what they were when they came into the nation, and then the Lord showed them exactly what they were again by putting them into captivity. All right? Now, the captivity of the law has condemned all of us, but that publican was a Jew collecting taxes for the Roman Empire from his fellow Jews. How popular do you suppose that dude was? Not very popular. They wanted to kill those guys. You want to know what they did? The Jews were being robbed of everything that they had from the Roman Empire. In Galilee, most of their farmed goods were excised by the Roman government for the benefit of the pre-consul in the area. And so they were poor. And so the tax collector came along, and you had to pay your tax. Now, if you didn't have the money to pay your tax, what do you suppose he did? Well, a little bit of extortion came into play here. So if you got a good-looking daughter in the back, well, why don't you all just go for a walk and leave her for a while? Let me talk to her for a minute, and we'll settle that tax bill. You got a pig in? No, they wouldn't have had a pig. You got a goat in the back? A pig would have been the wrong animal. Jews aren't going to have a pig. You got a goat in the back? Well, that's a nice-looking goat. We can just, it may be all the food you're going to have during the winter, the goat milk, but why don't you go ahead and let me take that goat, and I'll just write it down, pay the tax. So not only would they not be able to pay their tax, but they would be in abject poverty after the publican left. Okay? But those publicans were wearing a new pair of shoes every day, so to speak. So that publican did what? He smote upon his breast. And when a Jew smote himself on the breast in recognition of his own sin, he'd smite himself so hard that his heart would potentially stop. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a what? A sinner. Now he was standing before the veil. What was beyond the veil? The mercy seat. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant. He was saying, Lord, be to me as you are when the blood is applied to the mercy seat, that my sins might be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was viewing the sacrificial system the way it was meant to be viewed in the person and work of Christ that would one day come and die for his sins. Okay? And he went down to his house, what? Justified. Why? Because he expressed faith in the true and living God. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Yet man's been trying to please God by every other means but faith ever since he left the Garden of Eden. Started with the way of Cain. Okay? So 11 speaks of sin and false doctrine. Now, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, a couple pages. There's three different types of leaven that our Lord told the Jews to beware of. Okay, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees were kind of like the fundamentalists of Judaism. They believed in all the various fundamentals of the Jewish faith. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, however. Okay, so they didn't have faith to save their soul. And the Sadducees were kind of like the modernists, you know, the Pentecostal movement, very emotional. They loved the outward look of things. You know, the Pharisees were very much lust of the flesh, and the Sadducees were very much lust of the eyes. Okay? And the Herodians were likened to the pride of life, and we can look at that here in a little bit. So the Sadducees loved all the outside or outward trappings of Judaism. Look at me, I've got the garments on. Everybody says, Rabbi, Rabbi, I'm so holy and high and mighty. Yet they denied all of the fundamentals of the Jewish faith. Okay? Makes you wonder why they were even involved at all, but they loved the wealth that came from it. They were responsible for managing the treasury at the temple, okay? And tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Red skies at night, sailors' delight. Red skies in the morning, sailors' warning. Okay, you're going to have storms that day. All right. Oh, ye hypocrites, actors, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Okay. Man's still in that position. Now, what is he talking about? He says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, what happened to Jonah? Jonah and the great fish, or you know, the children's story is always depicted as being a whale, because man says, you know, you can't possibly grow a fish large enough to swallow a man, so it has to be a big blue whale, right? This was a prepared fish, okay? As God has prepared everything for his name's sake. It was a prepared fish. What was it? A big grouper? A shark? I have no idea what it was. It was a prepared fish, okay? That was large enough to swallow that smelly old Jew, Jonah. And he did. How long was he in the belly of the great fish? 3 days and three nights, as our Lord was in the heart of the earth or in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Okay, our traditions deny that, but that's exactly how long he was in the earth. We're going to go over that in detail around Christmas coming. Okay, so as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for how long? 3 days and three nights. Now, he arose from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and the grave, and he said, because I live, what? Ye shall live also. All right? So, speaking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, they were to see him, as John the Baptist declared him, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was crying forth the coming of the Savior. But yet they denied the sign of the times and denied the Lord Jesus Christ in doing so. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they'd forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus answered to them, take heed and beware of the leaven, that is the doctrine, the false doctrine, of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, again, leaven is always concerning, in this case, false doctrine and or sin. How much leaven was in our Lord? There's no false doctrine and no sin. So our Lord was unleavened. That's why when we take communion, we drink wine, which is unleavened, and we take adzumas, which is an unleavened bread, a cracker, and has no leaven in it, not puffed up. I always love the story of Pastor Andre and his Plymouth Brethren Fellowship. Was that what it was? They'd get a good smelling leavened loaf from the bakery prior to communion. And I believe they'd have communion every week at that fellowship. And Pastor Andre, and this is just like him, studying in the scriptures, saw that our Lord was unleavened. So therefore, the communion bread had to be unleavened because it represented the body of Christ that was given for you and me. Okay? So he asked them, why are you using a leavened loaf? This is not representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, why don't you, quietly exit stage left? Because everybody loved, they love to get wrapped up in how good it feels. We've got our nice, wholesome leavened loaf. We all have our cup of grape juice. And we can all sing kumbaya around the fact that we're doing the Lord's work because we're all so good and righteous and holy. It's pretty frequent that churches will say you have to examine yourself to see how much sin is within you before you drink this cup and take this bread. That's not what Paul was talking about over in 1 Corinthians. He was talking about not allowing that which is not in congruence with the word of God within the congregation, as in a false prophetess priestess from the Acropolis in Corinth under the goddess Aphrodite into your congregation with the old dude that got saved, that was his favorite whore that he liked to visit at the Acropolis. And he brought her in and gave her full status as a believer in Jesus Christ, bringing her into the Lord's Supper. Okay, that ought not be, because we're going to take communion here soon. And when we do, as often as we drink this cup and eat this bread, we show forth what? His death till he comes. Or we show forth the first advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, every time we drink the cup and eat the bread. Okay, so it's a focus upon what we have in him. And what we have in him is the cleansing of all sin. So the only people that are going to be in the congregation are going to be sinners that were in need of a Savior and accepted Jesus Christ as such. Okay. So he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Shows a little bit of the natural mind. Okay. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. Now, what does it require to please God? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of which of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? There were 12 baskets that were full of the remaining fragments that were left over of the feeding of the 5,000, which was really probably more like 30 or 40,000 people, if you consider the women and children. Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? There were seven baskets. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? Now, as far as bread is concerned, what did our Lord say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all what? The necessary things will be added unto you. If the Lord has the power to feed the little bird, do you suppose he has the power to feed you too? Of course he does. But yet man's always concerned with the natural. What am I going to eat next? But yet our Lord promised to supply if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Who's his righteousness? Jesus Christ is his righteousness. Where do we learn about Jesus Christ? In the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So avail yourself of the word of God that you might grow in the things of the Lord, and the Lord will provide all else that you need. You say, oh, I've got to work on Sunday. I can't go to church. I promise you, if you quit your job and get another one that's not on Sunday, the Lord's going to provide for you just as much as if you had that job on Sunday. I promise. You know why? Because God said it, and he can't lie. Okay? So we orientate ourselves so that we might serve our Lord in the capacity he's given us to serve, and he will fill every other need. Did he not with the disciples? You got to understand a little bit about the position the disciples were in when they converted from Judaism to Christianity, which really Judaism is Christianity in its proper form, just prior to the crucifixion of Christ. When they respected Jesus Christ as the Messiah, get all my bookmarks off the counter here, they were excised from the Jewish community. They weren't allowed to buy or sell within the Jewish community because they were considered to be as evil as Gentiles. Now, did a Jew have any kind of dealings with a Gentile at the time? No, they were completely Ichabod. So they had to move apart from the Jewish community and the Jewish synagogue and have all things common. All right. Now you have the socialists and the communists that say, socialism and communism is a scriptural thing. We're supposed to be socialists and communists. So if you really believe in God, you have to believe in communism. They had to have all things common because they couldn't buy or sell within the Jewish community, and they weren't around any other community. Okay? But did the Lord take care of them? Yeah. When he sent the disciples on their first preaching mission, what did he say? Take nor food, nor scrip, nor two coats, but go with the coat on your back and the shoes on your feet and ask nothing. And they came back, and he asked, the first thing he asked was, did you have any need? And they said, no. All our needs were met. Who do you suppose met their needs? God who promised. Okay? He has the promise, the ability, the power to do anything that's consistent with his will, and he can't fail at that because God can't lie. If he says that it's so, it is so. Right? But yet man loves to doubt. You know? The more you grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more assured of these things that you are. Remember, we read over in Colossians, you're complete in him. We don't always know how complete we are until we grow in these things and a spiritual maturity is built up, and then we rest in them after that. But prior to that, we still rely upon the world a little bit too much as believers in Jesus Christ. That's just kind of how it works. But you need not remain in that position. Avail yourself of the scriptures. Grow in the word of God. Become a mature man or woman in Christ. And you can know even as you're known, and you'll be supplied for, and you'll be comforted, and you won't have any doubts in the world because you don't belong to the world. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll know it. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have not going to have doubts along the way. You know, the devil loves to cast doubt. But the word of God corrects all that. All right? So we go back to the word of God for strength in times that we have doubt and weakness. Okay? So he says here in verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, we're almost out of time, but I want to read a little bit about the Pharisees over in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. And then next week, if we have time, we'll go into something about the Pharisees, or Sadducees, excuse me, and then the Herodians. Matthew chapter 23. Now, if you have a Schofield Bible, it says the marks of a Pharisee below the chapter designation here. Now, you could say this, the marks of a religious man. Doesn't have to be a Pharisee. Okay, they're all kind of like this. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit where? In Moses' seat. Okay, the place of authority. All right. All therefore whatsoever they bid, you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their what? Works. For they say and do what? And do not. Okay. I like to use the Socratic method a little bit here to get you involved. Okay. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Isn't that true of the aristocracy of society? You know, rules for thee, but not for me. Okay? That's how they keep the people under control. Look at politicians. They're the same way. This is the nature of man we're dealing with here. Politicians and wealthy, famous people love to have their PR program is always that they're as white as the driven snow. Unless you're a rapper, and then you can talk about, all kinds of things that I can't mention in the pulpit. It is foul to me, those things. But is that the way the man is? I mean, should we be surprised? That's what's going on behind the curtain, folks. They're just saying it out loud, all right? That's the way man is. You know, really, the Lord lays it as John mentioned, the Lord raises up the basis of men to rule. Who are we? We're all the basis of men. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? No, not a single one of us. All right? We're all as worms. That's what the Apostle Paul liked to describe himself as being. A lowly little worm, wiggling around on the ground, not knowing what's up and what's down until the Lord shows us. Okay? So, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. My dad remembers, was telling me a story, and this is what, you know, turned him off from organized religion, and rightfully so, prior to his salvation. He had a girlfriend, and he was necking with her in the back of his car like everybody else was, okay? And the preachers came up there, and the preacher at the Lutheran church didn't see any of them, but he said that, I see y'all necking up there at the park on blah, 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 Butte, wherever it was, okay? I think it was Skinner's Butte, yeah. Why'd he say that? Because that's where everybody went to neck up with their girlfriends, was on Skinner's Butte, okay? The foggy windows and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he felt condemned. Now, if the preacher was using the law properly, okay, where should he have led them after that? The Lord Jesus Christ, all right? But yet it was, God's going to curse you if you continue doing these evil deeds. As if the preacher was as innocent and white as the driven snow himself, okay? Now you look at wealthy men, and, you know, it's like, I hate to use his stage name, but Sean Combs, you know? I was listening to Dan Bongino, you know, and, you know, he's pretty good at getting some of the groundwork done for some of these stories. And it turns out there's a lot of politicians and actors and famous people that were going to these splash parties, or whatever you call them, with these underage kids running around all the time, okay? Now, if that's not rules for thee but not for me, I don't know what is. But that's the way the aristocracy of the world operates, okay? They have the power to cover it up. We don't. We're subject to the law. They're not subject to the law, okay? Now, it's just the same in organized religion, right? Just read some stories about Amy Simple McPherson, okay? So, for all their works, they do to be seen of men. But who are they supposed to be working for? Their creator, God. Now, do I have any works that are suitable to offer my Lord? None, none whatsoever. I'm just as evil as these Pharisees are. But yet I recognize that I'm a sinner, and my Lord Jesus Christ is my righteousness, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all sin. So when God sees me, he's looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, because in Christ I've died. Okay? Where? In Christ, who is God. So when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, so shall I also appear with him in glory. My life will not be taken into account. It's under the blood. It's forgiven and forgotten. Does that give me license to sin? No. You know, I may be under a liberty, but I'm not supposed to use my liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Now, are there times where we make a mistake and use our liberty as an occasion to the flesh? Sure there are. That's the nature that's within us. But what happens continually? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay? So we read this last week. They make their phylacteries enlarge. The Jews were supposed to have a small thread around the hem of their garment to separate themselves from the Gentiles, but they made them super large bands. Okay? Super Jews, as I said last week. They love the greetings in the markets, verse 7, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi! But be ye not called Rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father which is upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. What am I amongst you, and you amongst me? Brothers and sisters in Christ. I happen to be given the gifts to preach. You have individual gifts of your own. And we're one body of Christ here at the local assembly at Grace Baptist Church at 4101 River Road, Eugene, Oregon, 97404. Okay? That's who we are. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. Please don't emulate my life. You're going to hate it. I run to a lesser degree of riot than I formerly ran to for the purpose of my office, but I've had to grow into those things. Do I still desire to run sometimes? You betcha I get the urge. You know, as George Stephanopoulos says, I get a thrill at my left leg or whatever sometimes, you know, when he was talking about Obama. I like to call him George Snuffleupagus. So, but he that is greatest among you shall be what? Your servant. Now, which of us is great? Me? I'm the pastor. I've got to be the greatest one here, right? No, again, I'm just as lowly as you are. We're all worms. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the brethren of the nation of Israel, and he's our brother, though he died for us on the cross of Calvary, yet he be God. Okay? He's the greatest among us, and he shall be our servant. To do what? To die upon the cross for us as a lamb dumb before the shearers. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Oh, Lord, look at me. I'm not as evil as that publican over there who went down to his house condemned. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The sinner that goes to Christ for salvation and takes up his cross shall have eternal life. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is really the person that's being referenced, though my first reference is correct. He abased himself that he may be exalted, and I'm exalted with him because we're joint heirs to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. If we consider what we really are and how the world and nothing around us belongs to us, even our kids, they belong to the Lord too. Raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't forget it. You know, you have responsibility to do that. Now, the Lord's, they belong to the Lord, but how are they supposed to hear? And I say this because I don't know who's listening to my voice right now. But, you know, it's common in the age in which we live to let the kids rule the household, but they don't and shouldn't. Okay? They're under your governorship, your tutelage, until the time appointed of the Father. So raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and when they're old, they will not depart from it, and you'll be brothers and sisters in heaven. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We just ask that you allow the word of God to settle in our hearts, that it may be part of us and never leave us. We ask you to, by the Spirit of God, strengthen us apart from the world, because we're in the world and not of the world. We ask that you orientate ourselves to thee, that we might hear the word of God preached as often as possible, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto a maturity in the things of the Lord, so that we might know even as we're known. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.